Studio in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler. With me, as always, is Mr. Corey Behnke, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We're joined on our live chat by the best and the brightest from around the Packers blogosphere, including our own Jamie Snowden and Alex Talish. But right now, Corey, why don't you tell us what is on tap tonight?
Tonight, we'll break down the big win against the Chiefs and take a look at the upcoming matchup at the 49ers. But right now, we are joined live on the line with the starting center for your Green Bay Packers, Mr. Corey Linsley.
What's up, Corey? How are you tonight?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys doing?
We're doing all right. We're a little pumped up, man. You know, it's exciting to have you on the show. Thanks so much for taking the time. You know, first, right off the bat, we're 3 weeks in. Obviously, I think a big storyline around the team is how hurt everyone is. How are you feeling?
I'm doing all right. I'm staying healthy. You know, we had a couple bumps and bruises along the way with guys, and I guess that's natural in the season, but everybody seems to be in high hopes. Nothing serious, nothing too serious at least. No further season-ending injuries, except, you know, obviously for Jury.
I think one of the biggest storylines, especially after the last 2 weeks since you guys have been playing at home, are the free plays that you guys get on offense. I know Mike has talked about it. Aaron's talked a little bit about in their press conferences about how you guys practice it. How much do you practice it? I mean, how tricky is it for you as the center when you got that guy in your kind of peripheral vision, you see him jumping? Is practicing that timing to make sure you get the snap off? How much do you work at that?
Yeah, and also I just wanted to make a correction. I know we had Sam and Josh go on IR too, which is devastating. I was just referring to the offense.
Well, we hear you.
Yeah. Anyways,
first of all, no one watches this show, so don't worry about it. And second of all, we won't hold you to anything you say. You're all good.
All right. Well, yeah. I mean, it's just kind of like an offensive weapon that we have. You know, it's in our toolbox and our arsenal that we use, and we're looking for it every play and trying to use it as much as we can. And I think it's just a test to. You know, it's obviously something that Aaron does very well, and Josh and TJ are obviously very, very aware of it, as is Randall, all those veteran guys. So they're kind of the ones that were the forerunners, if you will, of it. So all of us, the younger guys, and everybody has to be on page with them. And, you know, it's a weapon in our toolbox, and I think we've done a pretty good job up to this point of using it.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of being on the kind of same page, obviously when we're watching at home, all the microphones now on the field, you know, we can hear basically everything that you guys are doing at the line. And there are times, obviously, where Aaron is pointing out the mic. There are times when you're pointing out the mic. Is there ever a time, and I don't think I've ever seen this, but is there ever a time where you guys disagree on who the mic is?
You know, there's discussions, and obviously he overrules me all the time. But
no,
in every situation, yeah. But I wouldn't call them disagreements so much as just adjustments. Yeah, of course, there's times that he wants to adjust it based on something that he's seeing coverage-wise, or maybe. Just scheme-wise, the defense is run that I can't necessarily see, and Josh and TJ might not be able to see either. So it kind of all balances itself out. You know, I make the initial declaration, and then, you know, he's saying this, and he might change it up or whatever. But it's it kind of all it works itself out. I wouldn't call it a disagreement so much as just a discussion and adjustment.
You know, watching the tape last night from the Kansas City game, as I am wont to do late at night, and tweeting things out and finding little vines of little moments that I like, I saw one play where it was kind of a screenplay, kind of a quick hitter where you kind of invited the guy up the field and then you spun out and then you were up the field like 5, 8, 10 yards and you were ready to block another guy. It looked absolutely by design. Is that a play? Is that something that was put in specifically for this game? Because it's not something I'd ever seen you do before.
No, yeah. I mean, that's just an adjustment off of one of our plays. It's just a technique adjustment. But, yeah, I mean, we, as you see in games, we run all types of screens and we have different things in for different games. And that just happens to be one of the things that we ran against KC. But I think it worked. We hit a couple screens on them. I think it worked
absolutely
pretty effectively. And I think we've done our screen game has been, I feel like it's been a lot better than it was last year. I think I can think back to 3 or 4 right now that over the past 3 games that have been some pretty big hitters. So I think that's, you know, something we kind of put an emphasis on this offseason and in training camp and getting better at, because I know we weren't as crisp as we were last year as we are right now. So I think you've done a good job at that.
How much of an effect has Tom Clements calling the plays had on that or just on the offense in general? I mean, I know a lot was made this offseason about the move. A lot's been made about, I guess, Aaron and Mike both saying, you know, the apparatus stays the same in regards to, you know, the way the call comes in, et cetera. But have you, I mean, you touch the ball on every play and you got to make stuff happen on every play. Is there been much of an adjustment there or has it just kind of been business as usual in that regard?
I think that obviously, you know, like you said, a lot was made of it. But I think Coach McCarthy wanted to do that for the, you know, to have more of a presence throughout the entire team. And I think that Coach Clemens has obviously done a great job in the first 3 games calling the plays. I mean, I get the play and then I run it, you know. But it's whatever he's doing back there, it looks like it's working pretty well. But I think, obviously, I mean, Coach McCarthy did a heck of a job at that too. So I think a lot of it's just, you know, the stuff we run and our game plan and stuff. We have some really, really smart coaches that know how to execute. And obviously, you know, Coach McCarthy and Coach Clements have both demonstrated that over the years.
Going back to the Seattle game real quick, Aaron said in his post-game remarks, you know, the touchdown to Richard Rodgers, he had mentioned that you had snapped the ball early. And it was kind of a broken play where it was guys just trying to get open in the end zone. And obviously Richard did. How often does that happen? Obviously we would never know watching at home or even at the game. How hard is it to hold your water? I mean, I'm surprised that doesn't happen more. Maybe it does happen more. I mean, is that a common occurrence or is that kind of an outlier?
No, that was definitely an outlier. that was actually my fault on that play because I heard it was a miscommunication. It was a communication error on my part that I thought he said something different. And so I snapped the ball before he had given the wide receivers the signals. So, you know, it's actually kind of funny that it all worked out. But, you know, as cheesy as it may sound, I think that's just, you know, obviously we don't want to have that happen every play. But I think that shows that our guys can really adjust on the fly. And the kind of stuff that we do, the attitude we take in practice and the attitude we take in game preparation, you know, should there be an error like that, nobody freaks out and just says, you know, oh, you shouldn't have snapped it. You know, everybody just kind of does their thing, gets open, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was kind of impressive for everybody else except for myself.
You know, speaking of Seattle, we're obviously not going to dwell on it because it's done. It's over. It's a couple weeks ago now. But after all the hoopla from the offseason, all that was written, all that was said, etc. I know you guys said it was just another game. I don't buy it for a second. Kind of had to feel a little good to get it over on him at Lambeau Field.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I know the guys. I think the last three times they had played them, you know, obviously both last season being up there and the Phil Mary being up there, too, we were just, all those guys were anxious just to finally get one at our place. And, you know, because they hadn't been there in forever. So I know it was satisfying to a lot of those guys. And I kind of reassured everybody that, you know, when we play at home, I think we're even a touch more dangerous. And now the expectation is to take that level of execution that we have at home and we're known for at home and take it on the road, no matter where we go. Because that's when stuff kind of gets a little bit harder on the road with communication and adjustments and all that. But it'll be a great challenge for us this week to take it on the road and prove that, you know, we can't just do it in Chicago. You know, we can do it no matter where we go.
You know, speaking of heading out, getting on the road, I know you guys, Mike has said you guys are leaving Friday this week. You know, early departure for you guys. We hear so much about how NFL players, football players in general, are such creatures of habit. Is that a big deal? Do you care? I mean, is it just, what do you make of leaving a day early?
Honestly, I don't care, but I know that, you know, our coaching staff is putting a lot of time and effort into researching what the best option is for us. And I don't think if leaving Friday wasn't the best option for us, we wouldn't be doing it. So, you know, that's kind of where just the trust in the program kind of comes with, you know, you kind of adjust your routine based on the science, if you will, of leaving a day early, just to get your body adjusted and your mind adjusted and everything to the West Coast time.
We're talking to Corey Linsley, the starting center for your Green Bay Packers. Corey, you're an absolute legend for joining us. Just a couple quick, just a few more questions. I got to know, how is the radio gig going? I mean, I think you saw a couple weeks ago, I finally listened in for the first time, and you're natural at it. Are you enjoying it?
I did see that you listened, so I appreciate you saying that. But it's going good. Me and Bob are having a good time, and it's light, you know, nothing too crazy on the show. So, you know, it's fun. You know, we got some fans that come out to it and bringing guests on and kind of giving them a hard time. You know, I brought Pam Ripkowski on last week, and he and I had a good time. And he was normally, you know, if you're like, oh, thanks for coming, you know, I'm so sorry, you know, I hope it went well for you. He loved it, you know, so. It's going good. It's going good so far.
Are you guys still playing Settlers of Catan? Now, obviously, there was a big story in the Wall Street Journal last year about your weekly games. Is that still going on, or was that a one-year-only thing?
No, it's not going on now that you mentioned that. I haven't thought about that in a while. We just haven't played it in a while. I don't know why. I don't think there's any, like, reason behind it or whatever, but I'll have to talk to Dave, and we'll have to get back on that.
You know, speaking of Dave, is he like, you know, Mr. Hollywood now, been in a big movie, and obviously now he's hosting a show down there in Appleton. Does he even talk to you anymore? I mean, or is he just too big time now?
Well, I had to let him, help him remember my name when I came back for the off season, because he called me Charlie or something. I'm just kidding. Dave will be the first guy to tell you to remind me if I ever call him Hollywood or anything. Who texted you on your birthday? Who texted you when you got engaged and all that jazz? So Dave's not, although he might want to be Hollywood, he's down to earth and a good guy.
Speaking of, since you bring it up, congratulations. I know that was obviously kind of splashed on Twitter. So happy for you guys. You know, it's wonderful. Good luck going forward. And, you know, simply thanks so much for coming on the show. It's absolutely wonderful that you take the time. I know how busy you are.
Oh, yeah, no problem, man. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. All right, man. Have a great night.
You too.
That's Corey Linsley, your center for your Green Bay Packers, calling in to Packer Transplants here at CheeseheadTV.com. How are you feeling about that, Corey?
I feel really good about it.
You sound it. Oh, man. How you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, are you?
I mean, the Packers are 3-0.
They are 3-0.
What's not to like?
What's not to love at 3-0? Okay, you ready?
Yeah, I am.
Well, so what? It's time for something. It's this weekly thing we do. I can't remember what it's called.
It's called The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. Right. We got the good. We got Aaron Rodgers.
What more can be said about this guy?
Mike Daniels.
Playing for that new contract.
Clay Matthews.
Everywhere, anywhere, he is on the spot.
And we got the bad. We got Julius Peppers.
Not the greatest effort / game from Pep.
David Settlers of Catan Bakhtiari.
You know, I should take this one back because he did get injured. But, you know, not the greatest game from old David.
Dayton Jones.
Another guy who was injured. But prior to getting injured, he was not having a great game.
And we got the ugly. We got Jamal Charles mocking the belt.
How'd that work out for you, buddy? How do you come into Lambeau and mock the belt?
He mocked it like they were down.
You got it. Yeah, it was 14-0 when he scored.
Wow, you scored a touchdown.
Well done. And now you're ready to get beaten down 24-7 by the time it's half. Well done to you, sir. Like, when are people going to learn? I don't know, man. I don't know. You know what time I think it is, though? I think it's time for a little Wisco Disco.
Yeah.
Salud, sir. That's what I'm talking about. Our good friends at Stillmank Brewery. I'm telling you what, I'm a little disappointed. We've been two games in now. Two games at Lambeau, right? I have received a startlingly few pictures of people with their Wisco Discos at Lambeau Field.
Yeah, I've seen some, but I haven't seen enough.
I mean, I've got a few, and I'm happy to get them, but I want a lot more people. I want pictures of you with your Wisco Discos. Hell, not even at Lambeau Field. Just pictures of you with Wisco. It fills my heart with joy. You know, I'm a simple man. I have simple things that make me happy, and one of them is seeing people with pictures of this can in my Twitter feed. So send them to me, people.
Something else in your Twitter feed, you can put, I'm watching Packer Transplants on at Cheesehead TV, sponsored by at Wisco Disco Beer, and you could be, and I actually have them live. I meant to pull them out.
Hello. He's pulling them out, people. Never like it when that happens. That's what happens in live broadcasting.
You could win a free poster by the man, the myth, the legend, Brent Schoonover. He is a comic book artist, pretty bold, pretty badass, pretty amazing. The paper quality is amazing. This poster, you can get it on Cheesehead TV. You can buy it, or by tweeting that, you can actually win one yourself.
Get one.
Nagler's going to get one tonight.
Get one.
He's
That's
happy
what I'm talking
that.
About.
He forgot,
That's what
but
I'm
he's
talking
happy.
About. I'm very happy. I can't tell you how happy I am. You should also visit legendofthefield.com. Why? Because they have every piece of Packer merchandise / paraphernalia signed by your favorite current and former Green Bay Packers that you could ever want. Absolutely outstanding merch for any Packer fan of any age. Check it out. It's, as the kids say, the hotness. You ready for some Packers news?
Yeah, let's do it.
Because there's a lot.
There's a bunch of old Packers news. This is the most Packers news we've had all season.
And to start it off, we've got Andrew Quarles, the tight end for your Green Bay Packers, being put on injured reserve designated to return, which essentially means that he cannot practice for 6 weeks, and he cannot play for 8. If he is healthy at that time, he will be able to come off the IR designation and play against the Bears on Thanksgiving night. That is the hope. Obviously, that's a ways away, but you know, they felt it necessary to put him on there. It's a risky move because this is their one time that they can use this designation. You know, something happens, say, this weekend, and they're not going to have that luxury. So obviously, they knew that you know, the initial report was that he would be out 4 to 6 weeks. So obviously, they think it's going to be around that 6 weeks period. 6 week period, and so they're going to get that roster spot sewn up. In other injury news, because there are several guys that are hurting, Morgan Burnett still sidelined with a calf injury. That's disconcerting, to say the least.
Yes, it is.
Especially when you're going to be going into San Francisco against a team desperate for a W, first of all, and desperate to run the ball. Morgan Burnett is a guy you need playing down in the box. Here's hoping, you know, maybe today was like the last day of his like taking it easy and we see him out there tomorrow. Somebody we're not going to see out there for a while is Davante Adams, who re-aggravated his ankle sprain in the game against the Chiefs. There's no timetable for his return, but he did make it clear to reporters today that it is not a high ankle sprain, which is good news, actually. If it's a high ankle sprain, that takes a hell of a lot longer to come back from. It's a hell of a lot more problematic, and it's much more dicey in regards to getting a timeline, getting any kind of idea of, okay, he's going to be back X amount of weeks. So hopefully, basically by the end of this week, hopefully we'll have some kind of idea of when we'll see Adams on the field again. Speaking of injuries, we got Jake Ryan showing up on the injury report today with a hamstring injury. Jake Ryan, who plays like 10 snaps a game, including the snaps that he does, you know, where he's on special teams, hamstring injury for young Jake. So that's not great. But some good news, finally, down this list of the walking wounded, we have LaTroy Guyon.
Oh, you said that right.
Uh-huh. I've been practicing all day. Guyon, he's back at practice today. The Packers did receive a roster exemption, which means they don't have to make a corresponding move until they activate him. They have the exemption until next Tuesday, which means they could theoretically go through the weekend, not activate him, and still have him being able to practice, etc. But the moment they activate him, they're going to have to make a move, which I think probably happens, obviously, like Friday or Saturday. And then, finally, in the Packers news column, we have Aaron Rodgers named Offensive Player of the Week. This is the 13th time that Rodgers has been dubbed Offensive Player of the Week. The guy is amazing. He's a machine, no matter what Pro Football Focus tells you. Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, you want to move on to the offense? Because, you know, that's what he's in charge of.
Yes.
The offense, we got the what we were talking about with Corey Linsley. The cadence and the free plays are absolutely making this team deadly in Lambeau Field. Absolutely deadly.
And I think away, too, it's going
to
be.
And I was going to mention it to Corey, but it does depend on the stadium. We did see it work in Chicago. We saw it work last year in Seattle, the notoriously loud stadium that were, you know, it was supposed to cause everybody so many problems. Rodgers got Seattle to jump 3 or 4 times in their own stadium. So I think it will be a weapon in San Francisco this weekend. You know, and speaking of Andrew Corliss going down, I get so many people asking me, you know, what are they going to do at tight end? We even got someone in the comment section asking if they were going to bring back Colt Lauerler. I mean, come on. That's not going to happen. But Kenard Backman, you were drafted for just this reason. It's your time to shine, buddy. He looked okay in the preseason in camp. He kind of came on towards the end of it. I wouldn't be surprised if Justin Perillo got activated later this week, but we'll see. We'll see.
I had to look who Kenard Backman was when I was writing this graphic.
He's a draft pick.
Yeah, I saw that. But when I was actually writing it, I was like, who's Kenard Backman?
Yeah. You don't remember, but we covered his selection live here in the studio during the
working.
Draft.
I was probably, was it in like, what round
it's
was
like
that?
Like 6th round.
Oh. Yeah. I was having all I could do just to keep up with what was going on. We were like watching the NFL on Roku. Yeah, then we were
streaming the Packers illegally. Wait, what?
What happened?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
No. That was Mark Murphy.
Yep, exactly. Janis.
Phil Bengston, sorry.
Jeff Janis, still a work in progress. I'll tell you what I loved though.
Okay, no, wait. If Jeff Janis, there was this moment, right?
Yep.
When they threw the bomb to Jeff Janis.
That was his first play. That's what I was just about to say. Like the very first play he's on the field from scrimmage, Rodgers goes deep to him.
I truly believe had he caught that and scored a touchdown,
yep,
that like the power would have went out in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, and Twitter would have like imploded on itself.
Like, yeah, Wisconsin and Packers Twitter would have just been like,
yep, annihilated. It would have been awesome. It would have been great. Except Jeff Janis ran out of bounds. Like, you've got a 9 route. It's the one route you run, and you run out of bounds. Come on, dude.
There's some questions on the chat that I think we should answer.
All right.
First one is, who would be the odd man out when Guyon comes back?
That is the million-dollar question. I gave up trying to guess what Ted's going to do in that regard a long time ago, because we all sit here and we do these things that we think are obvious, like so-and-so will be like, I know, I think the leader in the clubhouse, if I'm reading Twitter right, is Goodson. But it all depends on how hurt Goodson is, because he has been injured. Maybe if they reach an injury settlement with him, waive him injured, you know, maybe. But I don't know. It's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out. But like I said, you know, we've gone to this place. You know, they signed, some tight end today for their practice squad that it was the greatest Ted Thompson move. And you notice I didn't put it in the script because I know how much you like to talk about the practice squad.
Well, what's his name?
I don't remember. I didn't pay attention because I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't want to upset you. It's on the microblog because Jamie put it up there.
Oh, the greatest thing. I actually think besides the win.
Yeah.
The Ted clapping thing.
Oh my God.
I should have put that on. That was so ridiculous. And then Cousineau's like, oh man, Cousineau's like, Ted's happy. And there is just that almost broke Twitter, I think.
It was pretty brilliant.
That was just
like, because you had all the Packer fans going,
that's
awesome.
You know, the director was just waiting to show that too.
Because every time they cut to Thompson, at any point in any game in the history of his tenure as general manager of the Green Bay Packers, when they cut to him, he's always got that like the vacant, staring off into nothing,
Vader look
kind of stare, right? So this is like the first time ever in the history of his stewardship of the Packers that we've seen him like show emotion after a play. It was pretty awesome.
So another question that I don't know the answer to, with Quarles going to IR/DFR, doesn't that free up a roster spot without having to cut anyone?
Yes, it does. It does indeed. But again, that's why I think Perillo gets activated. I do know they like Perillo. He got caught in a numbers game, which is why he got put on the practice squad. I know there are people in the organization who thought he should have been active over Bostic last year, which would have been interesting. And I'm not talking about in Seattle. I'm talking
that
would
have been nice
all year long.
That would have been really nice, actually.
Yeah, it would have been great. But so I would tend to think
maybe
that
we would be in the Super Bowl if that would have happened.
Okay, relax. Bostic's looking for work.
Seriously?
He got cut by the Vikings.
Yeah, okay. What did I tell Wes?
I don't know. What did you tell Wes?
That he's not allowed to say that name.
Okay.
Okay? To me, that name is like Voldemort
in
Harry Potter.
I got it.
So can we please?
As opposed to Voldemort in Star Wars.
You know.
Got it. All right.
Look.
I'm just saying.
This studio is sacred ground, okay? Do you see the official program from 1946, Packers Bears?
I do.
Do you see the 1937 press material manual?
I do.
Okay. Do you see the picture of Vince Lombardi that nobody had that I got off eBay that was like an AP photo?
I got it.
Okay. Do you see the picture of me, my dad, and my grandfather with the cheese head?
It's a great shot.
Okay. So we're not going to say that name in the studio.
In the Holy Land.
Ever.
On holy ground.
Again.
I got it. Okay, I got it. I got it. 10-4, big buddy. So Brandon Bostic was... sorry.
You're not going to get a camera next week.
That's probably... It'll improve the... It'll definitely improve the show.
I mean, why? Just why?
I don't know.
Why?
I don't know, because I like to...
So you're telling me that they almost put a guy... So,
well, they didn't almost put it, but there were those in the organization who thought he should have been.
Oh, I can't handle this.
I know it's hard. But okay, we'll do the last thing on the offense, all right, and then we can do the defense.
We're three and zero, baby.
Here we go. Here's the thing.
We're 3-0.
I know. I fell into this trap during the game because I get emotional when I watch the Packers. Newsflash. A lot of dinking and dunking. A lot of underneath stuff. Obviously, part of that was because of the pass rush that the Chiefs, you know, were throwing at them. They wanted to get the ball out of Aaron's hands quickly. You saw what happened on the play where he had to hold it, and he was strip-sacked. They got saved by a penalty. I think against San Francisco, there are going to be opportunities down the field. You may even see... Now, here's another thing. We haven't seen a shot play yet this year. Not one. I mean, we saw, like, that streak to Janis, but we haven't seen, like, the rollout deep bomb that he usually throws to Jordy. And I'm really curious to see who that's going to go to. Like, if it's Randall, if it's, it can't be Devontae now, maybe Ty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it'll be interesting to see when and if they dial that up, who it goes to. I mean, you naturally think it's going to go to Cobb because you can run that out of the slot if you want. It's like, it's a pretty easy adjustment. But They haven't run it yet. They haven't really taken a whole lot of downfield shots.
No, if you look at Rodgers' statistics, he doesn't have a lot of over 20s or over 40s.
Yeah, it's all been very, 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 very underneath. Lots of dinking and dunking, which we, of course,
I like that.
We have a long history here at Cheesehead TV of loving the dinking and dunking. So I think we could see it open up against the 49ers because their secondary is absolutely atrocious. Switching over to the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, the graphics actually said defense this entire time.
All right, that's good. Switching over to the defensive side of the ball, can I just say, I just want to make this declarative statement. People, if you want to record right now and make a GIF or, you know, make a YouTube of this, I would start right now because I'm here to declare. Can I speak right here?
Mm-hmm.
All right. If the Green Bay Packers cannot contain Colin Kaepernick this week, if Dom Capers and his defense are unable to slow, nay, stop Colin Kaepernick this week, they never will.
No.
It will never happen. He will forever be their kryptonite. Because, holy cow, this is a broken quarterback playing in a very, very simple offense. If Colin Kaepernick has a big day on Sunday against this defense, I don't care if Morgan Burnett's out there or not, because he wasn't last regular season game. I don't care. If they can't shut this guy down this week, they never will. And he will forever own Dom Capers. That's all I got to say about that. Just throwing that out there. And now I'm going to drink Corey Types. Next up we got expect to see a similar game plan from Dom that we saw against the Chiefs. It was interesting looking at the tape. There are a ton of plays where they've got a safety down in the box, which is not surprising. But they've got Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, who traditionally plays, 13, 14, 15 yards off the line of scrimmage. He's up there like 10 yards off the line of scrimmage. Like just basically saying, we're daring you to beat us, Alex Smith.
Yeah.
And Alex Smith couldn't.
That's right, because he's Alex Smith.
But he is.
He did make $43 million more than Aaron Rodgers his first year in the NFL, though.
He sure did. How's that working out for him?
Good for him.
Yeah. Amen.
For 49ers fans, not so much.
Not so much. But, now they've got Kaepernick, who obviously has a stronger arm than Alex Smith, but struggles with downfield accuracy. Threw 4 interceptions last week.
Yikes.
I'm just saying. If I'm Dom Capers, I absolutely play the same style, kind of the same game plan. Make Colin Kaepernick beat you throwing the football. Because I don't think he can. This move I loved. I love this. So, Barrington goes down. What are we going to do? Clay Matthews plays an entire game against Seattle in the middle, and everyone's freaking out. Oh, Clay didn't rush the passer. Clay didn't play a single snap outside. Blah, blah, blah. And what happens? They go get Joe Thomas off the practice squad of the Dallas Cowboys, a guy they had in camp the last 2 years. And he comes in and plays the dime linebacker spot. They kick Clay back out, let Clay rush the passer. Clay gets pressure on the guy. And Joe Thomas, can I just say, he's been back for like a week, maybe 10 days. He played a good game. Like, he struggled in areas, but overall, the guy was thrown out there on prime time, to play the dime linebacker spot for the Green Bay Packers, and he played pretty damn well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was really encouraging, and I love this idea of using this guy to be that dime backer and then let Clay kick back outside. I thought that was great. I thought that was inventive.
You know what I think is great?
What's that?
11 sacks in 3 games.
Not too shabby. I like how you had to write that down. It's good.
I have to write down a lot of things. Okay.
I hear you, man.
It doesn't make me a bad person.
No, I'm not saying it does.
I wrote that down. You know what else I wrote down?
What?
135.4. You know what that is?
Is that Aaron Rodgers' quarterback rating?
That's right.
Hey.
And guess what the next best quarterback's passer rating is?
I don't know.
Come on, guess.
128.
Nope. Lower.
120?
121.
Who has it?
Dalton.
Oh, man. Dalton played a great game.
He did, but he has a 121
pass. But he also
threw
an interception, which Aaron Rodgers has yet to do.
That's right.
Year.
And you know what else?
He came
you know
close.
What I finally wrote down that we should have talked about during the offense?
What's that?
Is
should have told all these during the offense.
Eddie Lacy.
Yeah.
140 yards. James Starks.
Mm-hmm.
129 yards. Why is this important?
I don't know.
Because together, right?
Yeah.
If you're counting at home.
If you're playing along.
That's 269 yards, which is third in the NFL for rushing yards.
There you go.
That is, to me, the difference between last year's Green Bay Packers and this year's Green Bay Packers. We're pretty much the only team running a two-back set like that.
Right.
The number one...
Where it doesn't matter if the one goes out because you still got a guy who can get
and,
it done.
And now it forces us to be that two... We always kind of were mixing it up, right?
I hear you.
But the crazy thing is the number one is Peterson and the number two is Forte. Two teams that have no choice but to run. So let's talk about balance, right?
Right. Well, and that will pay dividends down the road. The more they see that, the more teams try and cheat up and try and take it away. That's when those shot plays will start happening. I'm obsessed with shot plays. I love the shot play.
You have problems.
I know. It's Mike McCarthy, though. I love Mike's shot plays. And he's not calling it now, so it's like...
There's one more graphic.
All right, yeah, let's hit it. Guyon is back at the perfect time. This is the perfect time for Guyon to be back because he will be out in San Francisco playing against a team that, let's face it, has to run power. I mean, that's their whole chance. Is to get Carlos Hyde and Hayne, the Australian rugby player who looked great in preseason. He hasn't done a whole lot during the regular season, but he can break out at any time. And they got to run power. And I don't think they necessarily have the offensive line to do it like they used to, but that's what they have to / want to do is run power. And with Guyon back in the mix, it's going to be awfully tough for them to do that. You throw in the way Raji's been playing as a penetrator, and you have Guyon two-gapping on some plays. I think that'll be a big addition at the perfect time, basically. You didn't hear a word I just said, did you?
No.
Okay, that's good.
Verizon support just tweeted at me.
How are they doing?
Well, they're not doing very well. They're number zero in my book. But
let's talk about somebody else.
Okay, wait, Joe Johnson. Joe Johnson has a
Joe Johnson,
for you.
The former defensive end that Mike Sherman vastly overpaid, coming off of his big year in New Orleans. What's up, Joe? Thanks for watching the show.
Actually, that guy's name was Josh Johnson. I mixed it up with this guy, Joe.
Dude, why do you gotta mess it all up? That was a great joke too, and you just destroyed it.
Well, if you saw what his question was, it would have laughed. But
what's that?
Actually, Joe has a question.
What's that?
I was a little late, so I apologize if we already talked about this. But can we sustain this dink and dime offense without Jordy all year? Let me answer that.
Okay, you go ahead.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, it's funny because this is something I talked about on Monday. What's interesting is you go back and you watch that game against the Chiefs. I think it's pretty obvious, as we did mention before, that this was the game plan coming in to try and negate the pass rush, getting it out of Aaron's hands as quickly as possible. Can it be sustained? I think so, because Aaron's the one running it, and Aaron's the one controlling everything at the line of scrimmage. Jordy or no, it's been insane to watch Aaron, regardless of who's in there. It doesn't matter if it's Ty Montgomery, Davante Adams, Randall Cobb, freaking Jeff Janis.
Doesn't matter.
Richard Rodgers.
Doesn't matter.
This guy, they keep rolling people in and out of there, sometimes due to injuries, sometimes due to, we don't want you out there. And it doesn't matter.
Here's some things that bother me.
James Jones?
Here's some things
it doesn't matter. It's pretty impressive.
Tom Brady.
Oh, boy.
And the Patriots.
Here we go.
Are ranked number one.
By who? Who cares?
By every... Okay.
Who cares?
I care, Nagler.
Why?
Because I care. Okay?
Well, don't.
Okay, so these ranking people.
Ranking people.
Them that shall not be named.
We are the ranking people.
They got a team ranked number one with a guy who's thrown almost twice as many attempts as Aaron Rodgers, by the way.
Yep.
He's got 1,100 yards, which is the most meaningless statistic in football. How many yards you throw.
Right.
Hey, I threw a bunch of yards, but I still lost.
Yeah.
That happens, by the way. Mm-hmm. So this team. They beat the Steelers.
Oh, boy.
They beat the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
And they beat the Jaguars.
Mm-hmm.
And they're number one? Come on, man.
Not to steal a segment, but...
Really?
The other segment will steal.
They're the number one team in the NFL? That's all. That's the best you got.
It's because that's what they, you know, it's style.
No, but then, and
it's
then.
It's style points.
And then some of
it's
them.
It's just style points. Some of that's all
yeah,
it is.
Well, you know what? You know what? I've spent my whole life with the Green Bay Packers getting the shaft when it comes to style points. You know why? Because national media types, right, that got to cater to large market teams,
oh,
like
boy,
Boston, New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Dallas, which should not count as this large market team if you look at their market share. Hey, it doesn't matter what we say about the Packers because they're a small market team, they're in a small market state, and they have rabid fans that really don't care and are just going to get upset, and I can sell more papers and I can have more eyeballs. But here's the thing. What's even worse than that is one of these rankings, okay?
Oh, boy.
They have the Arizona Cardinals bumping us out of the two spot. Really?
It's not a crazy assertion.
Okay. If you're going to bump us out of the two spot, you've got to bump the Patriots out. We are certainly a better team than the New England Patriots.
I know, what's his name, Harrison at NFL.com, he agrees with you. He said today that on a neutral field, the Packers beat the Patriots.
Of course they do.
They beat them
at
Lambeau.
The only place that the Packers do not beat the Patriots, mm-hmm, is in the small minds of people that live in Boston.
We should call Katie Nolan. Let's see what she thinks.
I don't.
I hear you. Okay, now look.
I mean, it's a.
Can I break it? Wait. Let me break this down because I've heard from several people who have similar thoughts. And here's the thing. Yes, they beat the Jaguars. So who gives a crap? Like, you know, it's one of the worst teams. Like, even though they beat the Dolphins, who apparently are terrible now. You know, okay. Here's how it works. The Patriots throw and throw and throw, and then they're up by a lot, and the other team gives up, and then they march down, and they have a bunch of, you know, 1 yard touchdowns for LeGarrette Blount, and they put up a 50 burger. And prisoner to the moment types, who basically are everyone who does power rankings, they see that and they go, oh, they're unstoppable. Oh, they're amazing. It was the same thing with the Cardinals. You know, the Cardinals whooped up on the Bears. And, you know, Bruce Arians is going to run up the score. It's what he does. He's the same as Bill Belichick. And then they beat up on the 49ers, and everyone's like, oh, they're unstoppable. Well, let's not worry about the fact that the Bears and the 49ers are terrible teams. But, you know, that's what people, they see that, and that's what they go off of. Meanwhile, the Packers go on national television, and let's face it, that game was essentially over at halftime. You know, they played the second half on defense completely differently than they did in the first half.
Yeah.
What I tweeted about it live. Dom Capers, no matter how many times he may be proven wrong, or, you know, it may come back to bite him, he is always, always going to play for time. That last drive where they scored a touchdown, it took them like 12, 13, 14 plays and a ton of time off the clock, and yes, they scored. But that's the whole point for
that's
Dom.
The point, yes.
Dom is just taking the
but
time off the clock.
Statistically, that will win you games.
No matter how much it's going to drive you and people on Twitter crazy. I'm not decrying it as, you know, a simple kind of, you know, what do you call it, a strategy. Like, I get that. I totally get it. But when the national media types are watching on Monday night and they were fresh off of watching the Cardinals and the Patriots absolutely bludgeon these teams, and then they see the Packers kind of go lax, quote-unquote, in the second half, they, oh, well, you know, the Packers aren't as strong. No, the game was over at halftime.
Yeah, the game was over from the
and
beginning.
We saw that countless times last year where they got out to huge leads at halftime, and then they coasted in the second half. And yes, the NFC Championship game will forever be a declaration of how that crap can come back and bite you in the ass. However, it did take a perfect storm that we are unlikely to ever see again in any game ever in the history of the NFL for that to happen. So, while it is frustrating to see the power rankings fall as they do week in and week out because of those perceptions, ultimately, they're not worth the pixels they're printed with.
No, I know this, but it's...
So why get upset about it?
Because, you know what? I'm sick and tired of the Green Bay Packers getting the shaft.
I hear you.
And I live in New York, and I understand how this game is played.
Right.
And I don't like how the game is played. I don't like how it's played.
What else don't you like? Because I seem to recall something happened prior to kickoff that kind of
Oh, no, this is good, people.
Talk about not liking something.
Okay, so if you were watching...
You take the camera.
If you were watching Twitter, at 7:15 when you were getting your Get Loud Lambo on, right? So, you know, you're drinking your beer, you're looking on Twitter, you're getting all anxious for the game, you're wondering what's going on, you're getting ready to get loud. You may have seen this great tweet from the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, boy.
Packers president and CEO Mark Murphy gave a tour of the new Packers Hall of Fame to Chiefs chairman and CEO Clark Hunt. Really? Get loud, Lambo! A bunch of white guys are taking a tour. A bunch of rich white guys are taking a tour of the Hall of Fame. Come on now, get loud! Oh, my goodness.
How does that make you feel, Corey?
It doesn't make me feel good. It makes me feel like whoever has that Twitter account should be fired. It makes feel like...
But wait, now wait, now
you know
wait.
What? You know what?
Now wait!
It makes me feel like... You know what it makes me feel
see
like?
See what?
It
wait,
makes
wait,
me feel
wait,
like Mark wait. Murphy is the
wait,
Phil
wait, wait.
Bankston
you've been
of
running,
the Green Bay Packers.
You've been running your own business for too long. Because let me ask you this. What if said person running the Twitter account was forced, nay, proclaimed you must tweet this out by a higher power, say Mark Murphy himself, or one of the VPs, possibly the head of marketing.
It goes
sometimes
the
person running the Twitter account ain't got no say.
I know, but it goes to my theory in life right now, currently, that no one agrees with me but me.
All right.
In that Mark Murphy is the president of the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
He is the Phil Bankston of presidents. There, I said it.
It's a bold statement. It's a bold statement, especially considering how well and robust the franchise is doing. Now, I know your argument.
Do you think? Okay.
I know your argument.
Do you think?
Is that Bob Harlan did all the work.
Do you think?
And he's just coasting.
And that is true.
I know.
Okay?
I,
and that is the truth, right?
He did.
Do
he
you
laid
think,
the foundation. No
do
doubt.
You think if the Packers needed a 5 or 7 cents increase for a new stadium in Brown County that Brown County
or
was
just,
going to pay
or
for.
Or just refurbishing the stadium.
Or Titletown development, right, which right, that's right. A commercial development, so right, of course they wouldn't do that. But if they needed it, right,
yeah,
that the team was in dire straits,
yeah.
And Mark Murphy went out to the community and said, guys, you got to give us some money. You think he could get it done?
Nope.
That's right. And nobody in their right mind that's a Packer fan thinks he could get it done. So, and to me, that's what Curly Lambeau did to make the team as president and GM.
Right.
That's what Bob Harlan did.
Yeah.
That's why we have a Super Bowl. That's why we have a team.
That's true. It's true.
So
it's kind of a false test, though, because it's like, do I think he could do it? Probably not. But I'm pretty sure he'll never be put in that position. So, you know.
Yeah, but to me, that's winning.
What strengths does he have? Like, where is his strength?
He has corporate strength. He has the strength to tour the chairman of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Would that be Clark Hunt?
On the Packers Hall of Fame. Look at this Hall of Fame that I've built for you. Look at this Hall of Fame I've built for you, other owners.
Wow. All right. Well, I'm not sure. See, I think a lot of this is driven because he blanked us or he got upset with us at the Fan Fest back in the day, like years and years ago.
Oh,
I think
oh,
you're still holding
let
that
there
grudge.
Be no doubt.
They're still holding that
well,
grudge.
There's that. Then there's also like, there's a lot of things. But let there be no doubt, right?
Right.
When we are on Radio Row.
When the Packers are in the Super Bowl.
When the Packers are in the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl 50.
And Mark
to commemorate. Martin,
and Mark right. Murphy sits down and he comes on this show.
Right, right. Because that's going to happen, people.
All will be forgiven.
So that's all he's got to do. He's just come
that's
on
it.
The show. All right.
If he comes on the show.
Yep.
Right?
What if he calls into the show before that?
Nope. Radio Row,
Super Bowl, Mark Murphy.
Mark Murphy.
In-house guest.
Like in-house that. Guest.
We'll make it happen. All right.
That needs to happen.
Okay. You know what else needs to happen?
Everybody needs to sign up for Throwback Weekend. That's what needs to happen. People.
Look at this.
It's coming up.
That's a graphic right
2 weeks. October 17th, sign up for it. Throwback Weekend in Wisconsin. Awesome times. October 17th and 18th. Go to Throwback Weekend.
Do it, people.
Reserve your tickets. Kyle Cousineau, Wally Pingle, they put on a great show. It's amazing. It is. It's fun. It's good times.
I'm not
Nagler doesn't know because he's never been there. But
it's true. It's true.
You know, little things.
What are you going to do? Yeah.
But go. We
Some
need
of
you
us
got to go.
Work.
I really want to see everybody there, and it's going to be a good time.
It's going to be awesome. And you should all make an attempt to get there for Throwback Weekend because it's going to be great. You know what else is going to be great? This next segment.
What happened?
It's that time.
Oh.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere!
That's right, it's This Week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. And we're just going to keep hammering it, people, because you need to download it. It's the Cheesehead TV app!
Yeah, more people need to download it. We've had thousands of downloads.
Thousands!
Which is pretty amazing. But
pretty insane.
It's for iOS. And, you know, I'm going to announce it on the show. We are coming out with an Android version this season.
What?
This season.
What?
There will be an Android version. Nagler didn't even know that. That was a surprise.
I literally just found this out.
Actually, I've decided that we are going to come out with an Android version. It is going to be hot. It's going to be as good as the iOS version. Everyone's going to be happy. And if they're not happy, I'm going to come through Twitter and kill them.
That's a sales pitch right there. That's how that works. That's how you do it.
Be happy or die.
Be happy or I will kill you.
Download the Cheesehead TV app. It's got everything you need.
And let's remind
people.
It really does.
It has everything you need for a Packers fan.
Let's remind people.
Yeah, remind
them. Okay, maybe you don't like Cheesehead TV. Maybe you don't like Corey. I know you don't like me. But the great thing about the app is that it's got everything. Everybody who covers the Packers. There's a whole... You can press a button and never see any Cheesehead TV content. You can press a button and get everything written about the Packers on the internet, in your stream, on your phone. You never have to... It's all at your fingertips in one spot. It's pure Packers magic. Brought to you by Corey Behnke.
It's nice. I like it.
That's it. That should be the bump.
It's nice. I like it.
That's good. Every time you open it.
It's nice. I like it.
That's it. That's what's going to happen. Can you add that?
Yes.
Get the engineers working on it.
Okay. I'll get right on.
You ready to wrap it up?
Yes.
All right. Well, that'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank our guest, Corey Lindsley. Can't believe big guy called in tonight. Along with everyone who connected with us on the live chat, you guys really helped make this a unique fan experience. That's why Corey and I do this. We're here for you. Can't thank you enough. We will see you next week. We have another very special guest lined up for next
week.
Very
special.
Take heed.
Mystery guest.
Mystery guest coming next Wednesday. You're going to love it. I'm telling you, clear your calendar. It's going to be awesome. For Corey, I'm Aaron. We are Cheesehead TV, and we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
Take the high road when something like this happens. Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out, any of that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?
Shh.